last message here, but I will be coming back and doing three more messages dealing with three controversial issues in connection with the book of Daniel. So although we finish here tonight on this series, I will come back and just add three more that I feel we have to deal with. I didn't have room to put all the information in the messages, but we wanted to give you a full overview of the book of Daniel. I know I haven't dealt with every single verse. I haven't taught all that I desire to teach on the book of Daniel. But what I've done is given you a thorough overview of every single chapter and, in fact, the entire book of Daniel. And that's what I want you to leave this series with. This isn't mere teaching. This isn't speculation. But this is a real word for this hour. I believe for what's happening in our world, we've never been here before. And it's going to get deeper. It's going to get further. Saints, get into the Word of God as we finish Daniel. We aren't setting Daniel aside, but this has only been a foundation because I believe this book of Daniel is going to take on a profound place in each one of our lives and in this church and in the church worldwide. Well, we finish our series, The Heavens Rule. Every single chapter we've looked at, we've been left with the message, the heavens do rule, that we read of in Daniel chapter 4 and 26. But here we come to the very last chapter, Daniel 12. Please follow with me as we read here tonight. Verse 1, and at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars for ever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on the one side of the bank, and of the other bank, on the other side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man, clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times and a half. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified and many white, made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1290 days. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to 1335 days. But go thou thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of days. My message here, and this last message from Daniel chapter 12. Listen to the title tonight, The Pathway to Resurrection. Let's pray together. Father, I do thank you for the word of God. I thank you for the encouragement, the blessing that these chapters in Daniel have been to us. I thank you, O God, that you've been opening our eyes, opening our hearts, establishing us, making us keep a clear vision that heaven does rule upon the earth. You've been setting our eyes upon the man of your right hand. You've been making us to hide ourselves in the truth of the written scriptures. And Lord God, surely this book is for this hour. Surely this book has been preserved for us at the end of time, in the last generation, in the end times. Lord God, in the time appointed, in the time that's spoken of in the books of prophecy. Lord God, I pray tonight that you'd give us a sense of awe, of an awareness of the hour that we are living in. My God, that this book of Daniel and in the entirety of scripture would become very precious tonight. And Lord God, that we might see Jesus Christ coming in the clouds of heaven, that we might see him, that we might be caught up to meet him. Lord God, some will go down into the grave, some will come through the fire, but Lord God, we long to be caught up to meet him in the clouds of heaven, to meet him face to face, to see him, O God, to bring an end to trials, to burdens, to suffering, to pain, to temptation, O God. Lord God, we thank you that we have a glorious hope as the Church of Jesus Christ tonight. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Maranatha, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Daniel chapter 12. The pathway to resurrection. The past couple of weeks we've had a deal with the Antichrist because the Bible teaches about Antichrist. But thank God, as we come to this last message, I was going to call it the resurrection, but I've called it the pathway to resurrection. Maybe I should say it is the last journey or the last few steps prior to resurrection. There is darkness before daylight. There is death before there's resurrection. I assure you, Antichrist will stand with power on the earth on the very eve that Jesus Christ is going to reveal himself in power and in great glory coming on the clouds of heaven. We are at a momentous stage in world history. Saints, we have come right to the end of all things. We are at the end of world history, of church history, and of Bible prophecy. We are approaching the eve of one of the most dramatic hours in all of history. It is a remarkable thing. Here tonight, we are dealing with the last journey to resurrection, or the pathway to resurrection, or the last few steps before the resurrection takes place universally. What a remarkable thing tonight. Jesus Christ in the Gospels mentions Daniel the prophet and calls him that prophet. In Matthew 24, in Mark 13, and in Luke 21, Jesus Christ gives his most profound and fullest teaching about the last generation, the last days of time, and the last fulfilling of Bible prophecy. In those three chapters in the Gospel, he gives a comprehensive teaching, a remarkable teaching. He doesn't teach more anywhere else. Neither do the other disciples or apostles that walked with him. All three writers, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all dedicate an entire chapter and then other parables on top of that to the exact teaching concerning end times, time sequence, what is going to happen, and when it will happen. These three chapters in the Gospels, Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21, lay out an exact time sequence. In fact, if you compare these three chapters for your own Bible study, if you lay out all of the events in those three chapters, you're going to find there are six exact events are distinct, separate events. Two of these, Matthew and Mark, use the exact same words. And then Luke actually adds other information and uses other words, but yet it is the exact time, same time sequence. So we see that Jesus taught his apostles and the apostles taught the early church when things were going to happen. In fact, in those chapters, especially Matthew 24, if you read it, it says when. It then goes on to say then. And then it's followed up by immediately after. All of these give you a time frame. Now listen carefully, in this last chapter of Daniel, why am I saying that? I'm saying that because in Matthew chapter 24, Jesus refers directly to Daniel and instructs the early church concerning his teaching and prophecy to go back and to read Daniel. In fact, in Matthew 24, he references exact verses in Daniel at least three times. He talks in Matthew 24 about the abomination of desolation spoken about by Daniel. And we know it's referred to in Daniel 8, Daniel 9, Daniel 11, and Daniel 12. Jesus also refers to the great tribulation, quoting from Daniel chapter 12, where we have just read tonight. And again, Jesus refers to himself, the Son of Man, coming upon the clouds, a direct quote from Daniel chapter 7. In other words, when you read Jesus teaching on Bible prophecy, he constantly directs you to Daniel. If you don't understand Daniel, how are you going to go to Matthew 24 and understand what Jesus teaches, or Matthew proclaims of what Jesus teaches? Many Christians in our day, they jump to the book of Revelation and they get confused. It's like a man jumping into a swamp. You then go and listen to different Bible teachers, and the more you listen, the more you become confused. Can I just exhort you? Spend some time in the book of Daniel. Jesus told us to go back to Daniel, to study it, listen it, to refer to it. And that's what we have been doing here. I want you, before we ever teach fully on the book of Revelation or teach all of the prophecies in the New Testament, I want Daniel to be in its place. And you know what? I'd hate to teach you Revelation if we hadn't have taught Daniel like this. I don't know when I'm going to teach Revelation, but I am ready to. From a year ago, I was very ready to teach the book of Revelation. I still don't think it's time, but I believe as a church, God is going to give us an hour and a time where he speaks very directly to us from the book of Revelation. Jesus refers to Daniel, and so we ought to study it. When we look at the book of Daniel, I show you it's a book about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's about the resurrection. It's about the coming of Jesus again, his second coming, and the resurrection of the saints. When we go to Daniel chapter 2, the entire vision of kings and kingdoms, of great kings and great leaders, it finishes with a stone cut out of a mountain that comes and smites that image on the very feet, and the entire thing disintegrates. I want to show you Daniel reveals in Daniel chapter 7 the Lord Jesus Christ coming on the clouds of heaven. It's a remarkable book. He teaches about kings and kingdoms. He teaches about Antichrist. But it's to bring you down to this last message of resurrection, of the coming of the Lord, of the end of all things, when you and I shall enter into our reward. I've got 6 points for you from Daniel chapter 12 as we close here tonight. 6 clear points. And I'm not going to take the verses in order. You're going to see why I rearrange this. But I want to give you 6 clear points as we close this entire Bible study on Daniel. My first point, the time of the end. The time of the end. Chapter 12 and verse 1, and it says, "And at that time shall Michael stand up." the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. At that time. What time is he talking about? Remember, the chapter 10, 11 and 12 is one entire prophecy given by the angel. When the angel begins speaking to Daniel, it carries on straight to the end of chapter 12. When he speaks about that time in chapter 12 and verse 1, what time? He's referring to the previous chapter. In the previous verses in chapter 11, verse 40, it says, "And at the time of the end." You remember we dealt with last week concerning Antichrist, his rise as a political leader, a military leader, and a religious leader. We see that that era is called the time of the end. And we're actually told about this time of the end, of last days, here in chapter 12 and verse 1, that Michael at that time shall stand up. In other words, during that period, I believe it's at the beginning of that period that Michael stands up. He begins to arise. He begins to move into action. You see, Michael is one of the great angels of the Lord. But hear this term, the time of the end. The time of the end is used five times in the Old Testament. And all five times are found in the book of Daniel. They're found in Daniel chapter 8, Daniel 11, and here in Daniel 12. When it begins to talk about the time of the end, it's talking about a very specific time. Two of these times refer to the days of Antiochus Epiphanes, who set up the abomination of desolation in the temple in his day and generation, and we dealt with that before. Two of the times are talking about a time when the prophecies would be fulfilled, when that would happen. The other three times refer to the Antichrist and the era when he comes, that it is the time of the end. In other words, it's that era that all of Bible prophecy speaks about. We also read the term concerning the appointed time of the end. In Daniel chapter 8, we read of it twice, of an appointed time that God has actually set times. So this is my first point, the time of the end. I want you to see this prophecy is concerning a very specific time when specific things are going to happen. Certain unique events are going to happen. It was paralleled in the time of the Maccabees when Antiochus arose. But here again we have this utterly unique period of time that all of Bible prophecy looks forward to. It's called the end. There is going to be an end, saints. Kings and kingdoms are not going to continue forever. Nations, as they are under the rule of men, are not going to continue forever. Sin and iniquity and unrighteousness prospering is not going to continue. There is an end to man's day. There is an end to the reign of man on the earth. There is going to be a putting down of kings and kingdoms, of politics. Aren't you glad here tonight that God has talked about a time that is called the end? I'm longing for that. Oh, I desire for that time when the end does come. It is the end of all things. The end of man having his way in this world of ours. The end of man having his way in Ireland, England, Germany, America, and out across the nations of the world. There is a specific, unique period of time. And when we come to the time of the end, it's going to get very, very dark. It's going to be one of the worst eras in history. And yet, do you know what? It actually alerts the world. It's all over. It's not over for righteousness and holiness. Oh no, it may seem like it. But I assure you, there is an end where God is going to say, enough is enough. Michael, the archangel, stands up at that time. It is going to be an utterly unique time. At that time, at the beginning of this last period of time, Michael, the angel, will stand up. In other words, he's going to move into action. Michael is mentioned three times in the book of Daniel. In chapter 10, he's mentioned twice. And then here in Daniel chapter 12. Do you know, I believe this prophecy, this verse, Daniel 12 verse 1, fits in with Revelation chapter 12 that we preached three messages on. When Michael and his angels war in heaven against Satan or the serpent and his fallen angels, and they get cast out of heaven onto the earth. I believe this verse, when Michael stands up, it means he is going into active war. You know, in Revelation 12, immediately after the serpent, Satan, is cast on the earth, when Michael triumphs with his angels, immediately the great tribulation starts. And we see there in Revelation 12, there's going to be 1,260 days, or 3.5 years, of tribulation of the serpent, the dragon, coming against the woman in the wilderness. I believe it. This is where it fits in. Here in Daniel chapter 12 and 1, Michael is going to stand up. You know what that means? He's standing up on behalf of Israel. It says there, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. Michael is attached to the nation of Israel, the physical nation of Israel, the seed of Abraham. He fights for their behalf. You know what it means? He is going to be affecting, impacting things that happen on the world during that last era. All nations are going to gather against Israel. The Antichrist, with all of his power, Satan, the wrath of hell, is going to come against the small nation of Israel. But do you know what God does? He gets Michael, the archangel, to stand up. This is the hour of Michael going forth to fight. You know, in Daniel's day, there were times where Michael intervened on behalf of Israel to make sure the prophecies were fulfilled. One last time, Michael is going to stand up again on behalf of Israel. He's going to stand up with all of his angels, and we are going to see the climax of world history, the end of the era. Saints, we are fast coming to the end, and the end of time is going to be a very dramatic time of the fulfilling of Bible prophecy. That's my first point, the time of the end. Daniel 12 talks about the time of the end. It's never happened, never been fulfilled as yet, and it is just ahead. Michael is going to stand up to rescue, to deliver, to help, to save the little nation of Israel, as all of the nations of the world come down to the valley of Megiddo, and there the Lord is going to meet them. Secondly, here in Daniel 12, we not only see the time of the end, we see the abomination of desolation. Look with me in verse 11. And from the time, again it's talking about a certain period, and from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up. This is my second point, the abomination of desolation. What is the abomination of desolation? Four times in Daniel, we've read about the abomination of desolation. We read about it in Daniel 11, chapter 8, verse 11. Through until verse 14. We read again in Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. We read a third time in Daniel 11, verse 31. And here a fourth time, we read about it in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 11. Now, two of those times, when it talks about this abomination, it refers to Antiochus, when he set up an abomination in the temple at Jerusalem. He shed the blood of a pig, and and scattered it about the holy place. He set up a statue, an image, with his face, with his image upon the actual statue. And he brought this in as the new worship, and that initiated the persecution in Israel in that hour. Daniel chapter 8 talks about this. And again, Daniel chapter 11 that we looked at last week, or the last 2 weeks. But saints, there's 2 other references to this abomination, and they're not past, they're still future. You remember Jesus in Matthew 24, he spoke about when you see the abomination of desolation. In other words, it's still future. The abomination of desolation, that exact term, the abomination of desolation, it's not used in Daniel 8. It's not used in Daniel 9 or in Daniel 11. It is the exact term of Daniel chapter 12. In other words, it's going to be exactly at the end, just before the resurrection. You see, the time of the end is just before resurrection. Also, the abomination of desolation is just before the resurrection. This is the last hour before resurrection. The abomination of desolation prophesied by Daniel is going to come just before the resurrection. In other words, it's going to be the last leading in, one of the darkest hours in world history. But yet, unknown to the nations of the world, it's going to usher in or notify those that know the Bible that the greatest hour is just ahead. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 24:15. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Jesus refers back to Daniel chapter 12 when he's teaching on the abomination of desolation. He said it's going to be a sign concerning the beginning of the end. We know about the beginning of sorrows or the birth pangs. And Jesus said that isn't the end yet. But he says, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel, then you know this is the end. This is the end. This has come right down to the end. And he talks about that abomination of desolation. The word abomination is a despicable thing. It's talking about idolatry, something that's an image that's used in worship. That's what an abomination is. It's used all through our New Testament. And Jesus was using that. And he said this abomination, this image, this statue, this likeness, just like Antiochus put an image in the temple and ushered in a new worship and tried to annihilate the Jews, so in the very last hour, the little horn is also going to set an abomination of desolation. Where is he going to set it? Well, Jesus said in Matthew 24 that it's going to stand in the holy place. That term holy place was only ever used of the temple in Jerusalem. That is the holy of holies. That is the inner sanctuary of the temple in the city of Jerusalem. Now, you and I know there's no temple there. Solomon's temple is come and gone. We know that Herod's temple is also come and gone. It was destroyed in AD 70. And since then, there's been no temple in the city of Jerusalem. And yet Jesus refers back to Daniel. You see, Jesus took Bible prophecy literally. He didn't try to symbolize the abomination. He believed it as it was written. And he said, when you see the abomination of desolation, a statue, an image, just like Antiochus did, the exact same thing happening again in the last day. He says, when you see it standing in the holy place. In other words, the temple is going to be rebuilt again. I am fully persuaded of it. I don't even have a question or doubt. The temple in Jerusalem, the third temple, is going to be built. Do you know the Jews are preparing now? Do you know they're organizing the new priesthood? Do you know they're getting all the vessels for that holy place ready? Do you know they've got all the plans written out in Jerusalem? And only since President Trump came in, the Jews suddenly become very vocal. Those religious Jews in Jerusalem began speaking openly for the first time and since they were birthed as a nation again. They were speaking openly, we're going to build the temple. Do you know how close we are? Do you realize everything is being set in place? There's got to be a temple there for the abomination of desolation to be set there by the little horn. Everything is being put in place. Over in Mark 13 and 14, again Jesus speaking, but when ye shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not, let him that readeth understand. Then let them that be in Judea flee to the mountains. Do you know, for those Jews and believers in the city of Jerusalem and in the area of Judea, as soon as they see that, they've got to run for their life. Do you know why? There's going to be one of the darkest hours in history begins. Saints, Jesus himself give this. Why do you think this abomination of desolation is mentioned four times in Daniel? Why is it takes center place here in Daniel 12 as we close, as we begin to approach the resurrection? When all those that died in Christ in faith are going to rise from the grave. Why is it that this is so marked? It's because it's the greatest sign of the last days. It means the end is here. This is the end. And for the Jewish nation, they are going to have to flee. Don't even go in to pack your bags. Don't go up to your roof. You mothers that are swaddling children, you better pray that it's not in the winter time. He said also pray that it's not on the Sabbath day. This is the second thing we find in this chapter concerning the abomination of desolation. Now what do we find here in this chapter concerning the abomination of desolation? It says in verse 11, and from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up. It's talking about an exact event. When the abomination gets set up, the daily sacrifice is going to stop. We know according to Daniel chapter 9 that that is going to be when the little horn, the Antichrist, breaks his covenant with Israel. For 3.5 years, they are going to kill lambs. I believe they'll have their temple. I believe they'll have their religion back. I believe it's going to be operating for 3.5 years. And Antichrist is going to usher all of that in. He is going to be the hero in the midst of that. But halfway through the last week, he's going to break the covenant with Israel. He is going to stop the sacrifices. And he is going to set up the abomination of desolation in that holy place. You see, the devil gives you things, but it's him that wants to bring something in. Anything the devil offers you, I assure you there's a price tag. And all he's doing is preparing the way for himself. Anything the devil offers you in this world, there's going to come hell on the back of it, be assured. Third of all, we have the great tribulation. Back to verse 1 again. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. He's talking about the Jewish nation, the nation of Israel, the seed of Abraham. Michael is going to stand up in that very hour for the people of Israel. And there shall be a time, at that time when Michael stands up, there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. You know as well as me how many wars Israel's had, how many times she's been led into captivity, the terrible atrocities that have been done against the Jewish people down over millennia. It is remarkable. It is a terrible story. And yet here is the angel telling Daniel of a time at the end time when the abomination of desolation is set up in the temple, look what he says. There is going to be a time of trouble, such as never was since it was a nation. I assure you, anything Israel has faced in all of its history, from its very beginning, not the days of Antiochus or Hitler or any other of these Herods, not Naaman or anyone else, there'll never be a day of trouble like this. No other era in Israel's history will compare with this. This is going to be their greatest time of trouble. How does it begin? When the abomination of desolation is put where it ought not to be, in the holy place, in the temple in Jerusalem. You see, Israel is a target of hell. Hell always targets Israel. And you know what? Even before they had their nation in 1948, they were a target for hell. The nations turned on them. Don't let anyone say that the nations are against Israel because they have a bit of land, that strip of land. When they were scattered across the nations, they were an instrument of ridicule, of slaughter, of terrible persecution. This can only be explained because the devil is behind it. They're a small people with a small land, and yet all nations will turn on them with vengeance. There's coming a time of trouble, the like of which they've never had. The Holocaust will not compare with this hour. When the abomination is set up, it's going to initiate this time of trouble. Israel is a target because she is so caught up in Bible prophecies. So many wars, but they won't compare with this. Jesus had this verse in Daniel chapter 12 in mind. Again, when he was teaching in Matthew 20, he says in verse 21, "And then," when is then? "When you see the abomination of desolation standeth where it ought not to, in the holy place." He then goes on in verse 21, "For then, at that time, shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world, to this time, no, nor ever shall be." He is quoting from Daniel chapter 12. Do you see how it's impossible for me not to refer to Matthew 24? When we look at this last chapter of Daniel, this is the third we're looking at, the third point we're looking at. The end of the time. We then see the abomination of desolation. We're also seeing the great tribulation here spoken of. You see, Daniel is being told about the worst time in history for the nation of Israel. He is getting an insight into one of the worst eras that's ever going to come. But it's just before the end. It's right at the time, in end times. That's when it actually begins. Over in Luke 21 and 20, the parallel verse. You see, Matthew and Mark talk about it quite clearly, that when the abomination is set up, then there's going to be the beginning of great tribulation. But listen to what it says in Luke 21 and 20. "And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies." He doesn't mention the abomination of desolation there. Instead, he talks about Jerusalem being surrounded by armies. Do you know when the abomination is set up in the temple in Jerusalem? Jerusalem is going to be surrounded by armies. And it will continue to be surrounded by armies for 3.5 years. They're going to be besieged for 3.5 years. It'll begin with the abomination of desolation. That will start the great tribulation. And it will continue through until the Lord Jesus Christ comes from heaven. It says, "When you see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains." When you see Jerusalem compassed, you better run for the hills. When you see the abomination of desolation, stand in the holy place. There are indicators. Jesus gives to the Jewish nation a warning. Why does he mention Judea? We know the tribulation will spread across the world, but why does he mention Judea? Because that's where it's going to begin. That's where the sign is going to be. That's where it's going to begin to be unleashed on those that do not bow the knee. The word tribulation means pressure, anguish, or trouble. In Mark 13, it talks of a time of great affliction. In Luke 21, a time of great distress when Jerusalem is going to be trodden down. This is the great tribulation. In other words, the biggest or the greatest yet. And it's going to be initiated with this abomination of desolation. There is going to be great tribulation, great distress, and it'll continue for 3.5 years. It's going to lead to the desolation of Jerusalem. It's going to be laid waste. It's going to be ruined. We must look back to Daniel to read the full prophecy of what is going to happen. You'll never understand these things without reading Daniel. But also notice in chapter 12, at the end of verse 1, it says, "And at that time thy people shall be delivered." He's talking about Jerusalem, Judea, and the nation of Israel. Thy people shall be delivered. You know what? There's a time of great deliverance in their darkest hour. It didn't come at the Holocaust, but it is going to come in this hour that lies ahead. At that time, thy people, Daniel, are going to be delivered. There's coming a deliverance, the like of which they have never had in history. Everyone that should be found written in the book, every Jew, every converted Jew, every Jew that believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, everyone written in the book is going to be delivered. Just because you're Jew, it's nothing special. Your name has to be written in the book. Just because you're the seed of Abraham, you could be the greatest rebel, the greatest apostate. Your name needs written in the book. What is this book? It is the Lamb's Book of Life. There is a book written of all those that get born again, washed in the blood, that turn from their sin. Can I ask you tonight, is your name in the Lamb's Book of Life? Are you ready to meet the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know that your name is written there from the foundation of the earth? You see, there is a people amongst the Jews going to be delivered. Oh, they're going to be a small remnant. It's going to seem like they're about to be annihilated. But you know what? The Lord is going to fight on their behalf. Fourth of all, in this Daniel chapter 12, how long? This is my fourth point. How long is this going to continue? How long between the distress and the deliverance? How long is it going to be that Antichrist is going to be allowed to unleash his fury against this little nation and then turn upon all believers in the world? You see, when you come to Daniel 12, you actually have three periods of time, and I want you to see them here tonight. Three distinct periods of time are prophesied, predicted, and given to us in Daniel. First of all, in Daniel chapter 12, verse 5. Listen. "Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two other angels, the one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river." Two angels. You remember, he's at this river. This is where the vision was given to him. And he sees these two, these angelic beings, standing either side of the river. And in verse 6, "And one said to the man clothed in linen," which we read about in Daniel chapter 10, "which was upon the waters of the river." Listen to the question. One of these angels asked this other angel that's upon the river, in the midst of the river, "How long shall it be to the end of these wonders?" These angels are having a conference here. They're talking about Bible prophecy. They're asking how long. They're actually discussing. Do you know the angels looking at what's happening on the church and looking in on what's happening with Israel, and they look in upon those who have experienced salvation? Do you realize all of us, the angels have literally stretched their neck looking in. It says in 1 Peter chapter 1 and 12 that the angels actually stretch their neck, or they look in upon these things, desiring to look into them. They want to understand Bible prophecy. They want to understand the gospel. And they actually talk about these things. And so Daniel here sees these angels talking, one on either side of the river, saying, how long? How long is this going to be? They're looking in on this prophecy being given to Daniel concerning the abomination of desolation and this time of tribulation. And they say, how long? Verse 7, and I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever. Listen to what he says. Do you know what he's doing? This is a sign of covenant. He swears. In other words, this cannot be changed. This is unalterable. It can't be shortened and it cannot be lengthened. In other words, when that angel lifts his hands, he's saying this is part of a covenant plan. This is part of God's sovereign divine plan. How long is he going to say it's for? A time, times and a half. A time in Jewish teaching is a year. Times are 2 years. And half, what is that? 3.5 years. The angels are talking and Daniel is listening in. This is going to continue for 3.5 years. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. Do you realize Antichrist is going to scatter the holy people? Do you realize there's going to be a terrible time of tribulation, of great tribulation? Do you realize his armies are going to besiege all the nations, are going to gather their armies to the little city of Jerusalem, and yet they're going to be held back for 3.5 years. There's going to be terrible atrocities for 3.5 years. But saints, there is going to come an end. Just at that time, where the power of the holy people is scattered, where it seems like they're about to be annihilated, you know what happens? The Lord actually arises. The Lord stands. You know these two angels that are talking here? We also saw them back in Daniel chapter 8. I believe they're probably the same two angels. Back there in Daniel 8, they were standing talking about the prophecy concerning Antiochus, or the little horn that was going to arise. And as the two angels are talking, Daniel is listening in. And they say, when the little horn, who was Antiochus, when he comes and he sets up his abomination, it's going to last for 2,300 days. We know that the 2,300 days are only for Antiochus. That was the time of his abomination of desolation. But here we're given another time period for how long this is going to last. The angels say it's going to be for three and a half years, or 1260 days. That's how long it's going to be. This period of 3.5 days, 3.5 years, 1260 days, or 42 months, come up all through Daniel, all through Revelation, and they're concerning about the same period of time, the time of the end. How long does the time of the end last? It lasts for 3.5 years, and it begins with the abomination of desolation, and its entire time period is going to be covered by the great tribulation. Notice further here in verse 8, and I heard, but I understood not. Aren't you glad that even Daniel could hear these things and he didn't understand? Maybe you have heard all of this teaching and you go, I've heard the preaching, I've been blessed and helped, but there's some things I don't understand. That's okay tonight. I want to tell you that there's some things. Daniel was a great man. This was him after years of walking with the Lord. This is the last vision that we have, the last contact we have with Daniel. And yet he says, I don't understand. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? Is that it? Is that the end? 3.5 years of desolation, the abomination in the holy place, the little horn arising, breaking the covenant with Israel. Can you imagine the head of Daniel swirling and saying, what is going to be the end of all of this? And he said, the angel said unto him, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. They're going to be sealed up until the time of the end. There is a time. You see, all these words, these prophecies, how long is it going to be? It's all sealed up until the very end. Look with me at verse 10 here. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Daniel has just said, I don't understand. You know what the angel's saying? They will at the end. Your people at the end are going to understand. What you don't understand, what I'm telling you about this prophecy, your people, the Jewish people, the inhabitants of Jerusalem and Judea, at the end, they are going to understand. The wise are going to understand. Daniel, you don't fully understand now. But you know what? I'm telling you, seal up the book. Seal up the book until the time of the end. It's fine that you don't understand certain things in Daniel 12. You know why? It's not for you, Daniel. It's not for your hour. It's not for your generation. It's not for that point in time. It's going to be for the very end time. And so the prophecy is sealed up until that very end time. And it says there in verse 10, many of those who are wise are going to be purified, made white, and tried. It's going to be a very trying hour. But you know what? They are going to understand Bible prophecy. They are going to have clarity. And yet the wicked will not understand. Three times in this verse, the wicked are mentioned. And we're told the wicked will not understand. Do you know that wickedness in the heart and life, what does that word wicked mean? It means lawlessness. Remember Jesus in Matthew 24, he talked about lawlessness, breaking the banks, and abounding iniquity or lawlessness. Here we have those who are wicked will not understand. Wickedness in the heart closes your eyes and mind. You will not understand Bible prophecy if you're wicked. You can understand it intellectually, but you will not be taught by the Holy Spirit. If you live in sin, you will not be ready. I can assure you, you will not understand what the Bible says. Wickedness leaves you ignorant, spiritually ignorant. Look again at the end of verse 11. It talks about this second time frame. The first time frame is 3.5 years. It's very exact. All of this is going to last 3.5 years. The Great Tribulation, 3.5 years. But verse 11, there shall be 1,290 days. This is a second period of time. This is not 1,260 days, which is 3.5 years. There's an extra 30 days here. In other words, he gives an extra period of time. The two angels are shown something more here. There's not only going to be 3.5 years to the end of the tribulation, the great tribulation. There's going to be an extra period of 30 days. And then listen to verse 12. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,305 days. That's 1,300 and 35 days. That's an extra 75 days. So listen carefully. The 3.5 years of tribulation, we are given three time periods, and Daniel didn't understand this, but they said them at the end are going to understand. There's going to be those who are wise. You don't understand, Daniel, but there is going to be a people who understand this. There's going to be 3.5 years of tribulation, then an extra 30 days, then an extra 45 days. So what is this period of 30 days and then the period of 45 days? Some of you are going to hate me when I tell you what I'm just about to tell you here. You're going to have to come back when I teach on the book of Revelation. I'm not going to tell you here. All I want you to see, I want you to be like Daniel here. I want you to see it, hear it, note it, mark it. Most commentators, when they take you to this, they'll say, I don't know. None of us know. I believe, I understand what's going to happen, at least in that 30 days. I believe it's revealed in the book of Revelation. I believe there's a very clear understanding of what's going to happen after the 3.5 years. And I believe these points in time are revealed in the book of Revelation. My fifth point here, the sealed book. The sealed book. Verse 4, but thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Daniel is given a command. He doesn't understand all he's seen, all he's heard, all that he is writing down. This is inspired scripture. And the angel tells him, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. This again is speaking to this last period of time. There is a certain shutting up of the words, a sealing of the book that is for the very last generation. It wasn't for Daniel's generation. It's for the time of the end. This term shut up means conceal or to close it up. It also means to protect it for a future time when it will be needed. It means to hide it away, to conceal it from abuse. Just keep it there. Guard it. Watch over it. Because you know what? There's a people who are going to need to know this. What is written in the book of Daniel? What is written in Daniel chapter 12? There is coming a people in this world of ours. It's going to be essential that they have this chapter, that they have the teaching you're getting tonight. It's going to mean far more to them than it is to you tonight. I assure you, it's going to be essential that these truths, that they know it, because then they're going to know what is happening in their world. Daniel was to shut up the words of this book. This term is also used in Daniel 8:26 concerning the vision of Antiochus. He was told back then, shut up the vision, for it shall be for many days. In other words, he was to shut it up in his day. He was to conceal it because it was going to happen. Well, it was going to happen in Antiochus's day. It was to be for many days. You know, in the days of Antiochus, the Maccabees, the Jews, opened up the book and they said, it's for our day. It is for this hour. They saw the signs of Antiochus setting the abomination of desolation in the temple. And they said, this is for us. It's for our day. The shutting up of the book means God has a plan. All prophecy is going to come to pass. There's going to be a unique hour where certain prophecies happen. And those who are alive are going to see it. They're going to understand. They're going to be wise. They're going to be purified. They're going to stand up and say, we know what is happening. We actually know. He not only shut up the book, he sealed the book. What is the sealing of a book? You know, in old days, they'd put a wax seal on the book. Do you know what the wax seal was for? It was a print of authorship. In other words, Daniel said, I authored this book. Many people deny Daniel authored it. Many people say many things about this book. But do you know what the angel said to Daniel? You seal this book and put a mark of your authorship upon it. In other words, it had a seal upon it of genuineness. It is a real book, a real prophecy, and it is going to come to pass in the last time. It is only sealed for a time. In other words, the prophecy, it is in the book. Everybody can read it. Anybody can read it. It is inspired scripture. It is for every generation. But you know what? It's specially sealed for the last day. There is a sealing. There is a mark of genuineness. No one is to tamper with it. That seal on it meant don't you change. Don't you add. Don't you alter. You know what they didn't done in those days? They made two copies. They hid one and then they used one for copying and making other copies. Do you know in the Jerusalem Bible, the Catholic Bible, there's a Daniel 13. Someone added to this prophecy. If you go and read Daniel 13, it's confusion. It's not like the rest of Daniel. You know what someone done? They added to it. They changed it. They altered the prophecy. How dangerous. That man, that woman will have their name struck out of the book of God. But notice, I really want you to see this before we close here tonight. What we read at the end of verse 4. Now notice the context. Daniel has been told, shut up the words of the book. Seal the book until the time of the end. Don't separate this from the next sentence. If you do, it makes no sense. Keep it in its context. The next part of the verse says, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Many of us, me included, and you, we have thought that this was a prophecy concerning the last day about planes, trains, and automobiles. That's what we thought. The increase of knowledge we thought was the internet and technology. We thought it was about all of our generation, this last generation, that more people are traveling than any other era, that there's much to-ing and fro-ing in the earth, that knowledge has gone through the roof. That isn't what it's saying here. That's a fascinating way to interpret it, but that is not in context. That is not what it means. Notice that it is in the context of the prophecy of Daniel, a Bible prophecy. You cannot separate this last term from the context, which is about the prophecy. In the light of this prophecy, Daniel 12, the complete book of Daniel, and in fact all the prophecies of Scripture, in the last day, at the end, when it's all about to be fulfilled, many shall run to and fro. This term, running to and fro, it can mean that, to run to and fro. It means to push forward with great energy. It means to row a boat where you're hitting your oars off the water and creating a, lashing the water, creating a lot of froth. It means to pursue, to be diligent, to give effort, to use much toil, much labor. And it certainly does mean that your body is going to and fro, moving about, searching for something, seeking out information. You know what this is? When we reach the very end of time, many, not a few, but many are going to go to and fro all over the earth. There's going to be a great seeking for the knowledge of Daniel. Daniel's prophecy is going to become extraordinary. In the last hour, at the end, there is going to be a going to and fro searching for the knowledge, the interpretation, the clear understanding of the words of this prophecy. There is going to be a fury. There's going to be a stirring up. There's going to be a lot of energy. And I believe it's in the Church of Jesus Christ. I believe it's going to be amongst Israel and the Jewish nation. There's going to be a great searching in this hour to understand the book. It is a searching out of the words. It is a searching out of the book. It is running to and fro in connection with this prophecy. Also, it says knowledge shall be increased. It will multiply, be heaped up. It will pile up. It is knowledge about Bible prophecy, end time events, future events, searching out the meaning of this prophecy. There's going to be an hour come, an extraordinary hour, where there's going to be an explosion of a seeking for the clear understanding of that. Surely we are there, saints. Surely we are coming to that hour. Let me finish here. Our chapter 12, and in fact, our entire series on the book of Daniel. And this is where I'm going to leave you. Not with tribulation, not with the end, not with the abomination, not with an increased understanding of the book of Daniel. But sixth and lastly, the resurrection. The resurrection. Look at verse 2. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Do you understand why the little horn, such a short period of time, 3.5 years of tribulation, almost annihilation of Israel, the abomination of desolation, the religion of Antichrist, it's such a short time, but it leads you right into the resurrection. Saints, it's the resurrection that's at the end. That is what is at the end of this. I assure you, when anyone sees Antichrist come in the scene of time, they better know the resurrection is at the door. You better look up, because your redemption draweth nigh. It says here that many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. When? At the end. The resurrection of all those who have died is coming again, but it's not until the end. It actually says here that they shall awake all those that sleep in the dust. To sleep means that you're dead. It's a beautiful term for being dead. It's not soul sleep. To be absent from the body means that you're present with the Lord immediately. To leave my physical body, I'll go straight into the presence of the Lord. We heard early this morning our good friend Brother Tommy, his father, 5:30 this morning, went to be with the Lord. I assure you, he breathed out his last breath and he was there looking on the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are going to awaken in his likeness. Since there is a resurrection, it's not talking about spiritual resurrection, but a resurrection of the body. We know that Billy McKinstry is spiritually in the presence of God, but his body is going to be laid in the earth. And his body, as a Christian, his body will lie in the earth until this great awakening, this resurrection of the saints. When is the resurrection going to happen? At the end of the great tribulation. At the end of all things. You know, at that time, it says, many of them that sleep in the earth shall awake. Some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Do you realize it's not only Christians, believers, the elect that are gonna arise in the resurrection? Do you know that the wicked, there is a resurrection of the wicked, of every sinner. Every sinner is gonna get reunited with their body. A body that cannot decay. A body that can be burnt and feel pain, and yet they'll always have it. Do you realize there's gonna be two different resurrections, either of the righteous or the wicked? This is taught so clearly in the Bible. What resurrection are you going to have a part in? Are you going to be raised with the saints or raised with the wicked? Will it be a resurrection unto reward or a resurrection unto damnation? When you reach that point, there is no second chance. There's no changing of your ways then. It is appointed unto men once to die and then the judgment. This has always been the hope of the saints, the resurrection of the body. It's going to be everlasting. It says there, everlasting life, everlasting contempt. Notice that you can't minimize the judgment of hell without minimizing eternal life. If you remove the word everlasting from shame and contempt, you need to move it away from life as well. It is such a serious thing. What happens at the resurrection for you and I? What happens for all those that die as believers in the Lord with their name written in the book? Look at verse 3. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. Can you imagine Daniel hearing all of this? He has heard about Antichrist. He has heard about Antiochus. He has heard about the rising up of kingdoms and the passing. But there is coming an end of all of this. Isn't it glorious? Since when it's all over, there's going to be a resurrection. That little stone is going to come and hit the 10 toes of that statue. I assure you, Jesus is going to come upon the clouds of heaven, as is written in Daniel 7, and again in Matthew 24. He is going to come at the end of the tribulation, at the end of those days. The Son of Man is going to come upon the clouds of heaven. It is so real. Do you realize it's going to be a time of great reward, a time of great blessing? What does it say in verse 3? And they that be wise. Are you wise tonight? Are you one of the wise? Are you one of those that understand? The wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. Do you realize that these bodies are going to be changed? We're going to put on resurrection bodies. We're going to shine forth as the firmament, as the brightness of the firmament. In other words, as we look around, we're going to be like the stars of heaven or the sun in the sky. Saints, there is a day of reward. Are you wise? Are you going to shine as the brightness of the firmament? Then they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. What a glorious way to end this book of Daniel. Oh, we've seen dark times. We've had real prophecies about terrible things that are happening. But saints, don't close the book just yet. There is an end when all of this will come to an end. And there's going to be a glorious resurrection. I'm longing to see my sister, who I've never seen this side of eternity. She's waiting for me. My grandfather, Willie Mulligan, is there. My old great-grandmother, who used to pray for the entire family, who I never met. After she died, four generations came in and believed. I'm going to see her in this resurrection. I'm going to see her shining as one of the stars of heaven. Who are these that shine as the stars of heaven? They have turned many to righteousness. One last hour we have as the Church of Christ. I want to turn many to righteousness through this YouTube channel, through Zoom meetings, through being on the high street of Limerick. Church, why don't we make it our ambition to shine as the stars forever and ever? You know what? I am going to shine. We're going to turn many, many unto righteousness, many unto holiness in this last hour. And finally, in verse 13, the angel speaking to Daniel, but go thy way till the end be. Speaking to Daniel after this, it's the end of his days. Go thy way till the end be. He's not speaking about the end of time now. He's speaking about Daniel's end. Daniel, I've told you everything that you're going to possibly hear. Now, just go on your way. Live out this life till the end. It's the end of Daniel's life. He did have an end. He did die. We don't know when, but he died after this. For listen, for thou shalt rest. You realize he's being told about his death here. It's called his end. His physical life is going to come to an end. But hasn't he already been told about shining forth as the stars forever and forever? And he says, when you meet your end, then you shall rest. This isn't a time to rest. I'm not resting, I can assure you. But you know what? When I come to my end, I'm going to rest, saints. There is a rest to enter into. My death will be the day that I enter rest. I'm longing for my rest. And stand in thy lot at the end days. Daniel is told about his end, his last breath, his death, when he'll enter into rest. And at that point, he will stand in his lot at the end of the days. You know what, Daniel? All I've shown you, you'll be here for it. You're going to live forever. Between now, when you die, you're going to rest all the way through the ages until the resurrection. And when you get raised up, you're going to stand in your lot. You know, Daniel in this life was a diplomat. He worked in the palace. He was part of the government of Babylon, of the city of Babylon, through two entire different kingdoms, all through those long years. But you know what? He's going to enter into his reward and he'll stand in his lot, his inheritance. Daniel, you were snatched away at 16 years old, led into captivity, thrown into the den of lions, threats made against you, misunderstood many times. But you know what? At the end, not only will you enter into rest, but at the very end, you're going to stand in your reward. Saints, we're finishing this book of Daniel tonight. But I want to tell you, it's the pathway to resurrection. I'd hate for you to think that Antichrist is the end. I'd hate for you to think that the fulfilling of Bible prophecy is the end. It's not. Do you realize at the end of the tribulation is only the beginning? The end is only the beginning for the righteous, and we shall reign forever and ever with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for the word of God. I thank you for this Bible study over these months. I thank you for all those that have been blessed and encouraged, the friends that we have made, those that have been touched by the word of God, those that have been helped by it. Father, I pray that you help us to see beyond this world. Even what we're seeing in our world now, we are seeing a conspiracy in the nations. We are seeing the stage set. But my God, help us to look up to the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to know that there is a resurrection of the body. My God, that when it's all over, when it's all finished, that we are going to be found standing in our lot, in our rest, in our inheritance with a reward. Help us to live right. Help us to serve well, that we might stand in our lot, reigning and ruling with the Lord Jesus Christ when he comes on the clouds of heaven. Father, will you save sinners? Will you use us to win many unto righteousness, to turn many from sin? In this last hour, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you here tonight.